And we're holding Tzadik Beis, Amar Aleph, the Mishnah. Continuing with the halachas of workers eating on the job, the Mishnah says, Oichel Poyok Kishus, the worker is allowed to eat even a whole kishus, which would be a kishus would be a cucumber or a melon or something like that. I feel a bit dinner, even if the thing is worth a dinner. And even as we're going to see in the Gemara, even if that's worth more than his pay. So you'd be allowed to kosevus afilu b'dinner. Similarly, he'd be allowed to eat dates, even if the value of them altogether is worth more than is worth a dinner, which is more than he's being paid. Nevertheless, the Torah says he can eat, so therefore he can eat as much as he wants. Rabbi Lozu Chisma. Now Rabbi Lozu Chisma disagrees with that. He says the worker is not allowed to eat more than what his actual pay is. So if his pay for the day is a half a dinner, for example, then the maximum he can eat is that half a dinner, but no more than that. The chum say it's mutter. Now we're going to see in the Gemara, the chum seem to be saying the same thing as the Tanakhama. We'll see that there's a difference between them. But the chum continue. We teach a person to not be a glutton, be a sosimus, a pesach b'fanav, and then he's going to close the door in his face, meaning,
yeah.
That if he eats more than what he's being paid, so therefore, in other words, so what are we doing? In other words, we're saying that what he eats is yeah. If he eats more than what he's getting paid, then the balabasa, nobody's going to want to hire such a person who eats so much. So therefore, it's a better teach him to not do that, so that he'll be able to get jobs in the future. Okay, so they want to ask Chacham Hainu Tana Kama, aren't the
What's
Chacham
the name
saying
that you
exactly?
give him?
What?
What is the name that you call someone? The Gemara calls someone who eats too much.
Ravton means a glutton. Ravton means like a hungry person, a glutton. So the Gemara asks, Chachamim hainu Tana Kama. Aren't the Chachamim and the Tana Kama saying the same thing? The Chachamim said that you're allowed to, and the Tana Kama had said you're allowed to, and the Chachamim are also saying you're allowed to. Only Rabbi Lozu Chisma is disagreeing. Agav, we have Rabbi Lozu Chisma's name doesn't come up all that often. We had him at the end of Perek Gimel Pirkei Avos. And there you have over there in the standard Siddurim, yeah, it says Rabbi Lozer ben Chisma, but the ben is in parenthesis because based on our Mishnah and the few other places in Shas that he's mentioned, comes out that Chisma was not his father's name, but rather a title of his. It may have been after a name or a place he was from. It may have meant the strong one, whatever it is. Anyway, so the point is the Chum and the Tana Kama seem to be saying the same thing, and the Gemara says a few possibilities. First of all, Ikebenayo Avol Melamden. The one nafkamina between them would be this part that the Chachamim say in the Mishnah. However, we teach him to not do that. The Tanakhama leslem melamdin l'rabbanon islahu melamdin. The Tanakhama would say we don't tell him that. The Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah would say that we do. Now, why, according to the Tanakhama, why would there be a reason not to? And in fact, the Rosh comments on this. He says, I mean, it seems much more logical to the opinion of the Chachamim, because why shouldn't we tell him? On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yehonasan says the fact is the Torah tells us that he's allowed to eat and doesn't put any restrictions on it. So how would we be able to tell him differently and tell him that no, there's a limit how much you can eat because of practical considerations? In fact, there's a very interesting explanation. There's an Achron who wrote a sefer on of Chidushim on various parts of Gemara called Yad David. His name is Rav David Zinsheim. Very interesting story with him. He's when he was the He was a Rav in one of the cities and on the border between France and Germany, the area of Alsace-Lorraine, during the period when Napoleon was busy conquering the world. At one point, famously, he put together what he called a Sanhedrin of various important Jews, where he wanted them to rubber stamp various changes that he wanted to Yiddishkeit. And this Rav David ended up being appointed the head of it. So Rav David had to tread very carefully to not offend Napoleon, and on the other hand, not have these guys come up with all kinds of things against halacha. Anyway, so he
What
wrote a
was his
sefer.
name? How did
His
I
name is
know?
Reb David. His name is Reb David Zinsheim. So, so,
Zinsheim.
what? Reb David
Zinsheim.
Zins. Reb David Zinsheim. Yeah, it was the Rav, I think, of Strasbourg. Anyway, so he wrote Chidushim on the Gemara. So he points out over here something which maybe actually feeds into this role he played over there of trying to steer ground over there between what Napoleon wants and then Lahavdil, what the Torah wants. He comments over here on this thing from Rabbeinu Yohanan. We're not going to say, if we were to say, the Torah allows you to eat as much as you want. However, practically speaking, it's not a good idea. That would almost amount to saying that the Torah is incomplete, that we have to, that we know better than what the Torah says, and we can't do that. So therefore, that would be why the Tanakhama in this Mishnah says that you don't melamdin, don't tell him anything. Let him figure it out for himself if he wants. But we shouldn't be telling him that we shouldn't be telling him that even though the Torah says you're allowed to, really it's not a good idea to follow that.
The way it hit me is that the Chachamim say that it's not necessarily usur, but we're going to teach you.
Right, that's the point. They're saying we're going to teach you, right. The Chachamim are saying, but nevertheless, the Tanakhama would hold, according to this first explanation, that it's not appropriate to do that.
Not even to teach him that,
for the reason, and a reason behind that would be what Rabbeinu Yohanan says, that the fact is the Torah allows it, and to add also what the Yad David says, that then that would amount to saying that the Torah is incomplete, and we know better. Anyway, so that would be one answer. The Tanakhama less le melamdin, le rabbonin islu melamdin, that the Tanakhama does not hold of this concept of teaching him, and the Chacham hold you do. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that the nafkamina between them would be Rav Asi's din. The Amar Rav Asi, afilu loy sachre ela livtzu eshkol achad, even if the person was hired to pick only one cluster of grapes, oichloy, he would be allowed to eat that whole cluster. So the Tanakhama then would hold of that concept. So in other words, Rashi explains when the Tanakhama says that he can eat the kishus, he can eat the cucumber or the melon, whatever it is, even if it's worth a dinner, or the dates, even if they're worth a dinner. So now the Tanakhama would be saying, even if it's the only date or the only fig, then he'd be allowed to eat it, even though it's worth a dinner. Comes Rabbi Elazar Chisma and says that no, you can't eat more than you pay. The Chachamim are saying you are allowed to eat more than you pay if you're a Schir Yom, if you've been hired for the whole day. But if you've been hired only to pick that one particular kishus, then no. The Amar Rabasi, and Rabasi says another din in that connection. I feel like Botzer Ala Eshkol Echad, even if a person only actually harvested one cluster of grapes, Oichloi, then he would be able to eat it. So the point would be that the Tanakhama would hold of these dinim of Rav Asi, and the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah would not, which the Gemara points out, it's Tzricha. Now we would need to be
one
told.
One second, it's all very nice to have opinions, but where do they base their opinions on? Either side,
that the Torah just says Kisavu b'cherem re'echa and Kisavu b'kamos re'echa. The only limitation the Torah says is that you can't put it into your kalim to take home, and you can't use a sickle to harvest it. You have to you're going to pull out ears of grain by hand. And we also learned previously kenafshecha that you can't eat achila gasa. You can't overeat to the point where you'd be sick of food. Other than that, the Torah is not putting any limitations. Therefore, the Tanakhama says there are no limitations. And even if you were only hired to pick this one cluster of grapes, you would still be allowed to eat it, because that's what the Torah is saying, no limitations. Rabbi Elazar Chisma and the Chachamim are disagreeing with that point. We're going to learn further down.
On the basis of what? Can they disagree?
We'll see further down the Amud reasons why not. So the Gemara points out it's Tzricha. Now we need both of those. We need Rav Asi to tell us both of those dinim: one where he was hired to pick only one cluster, and one where he actually only picked one cluster. The Iyashmin and Hach Kamaisa. If we only had Rav Asi's first din where he was hired to pick one cluster, you would say, you know why he's allowed to eat in that case, Mishum Deloy Ikala Mesa Lakalev Shabalabayas, because there's nothing to put into the Balabayas' Kalim like this. In other words, we would think to say that we would tell him first put what you're supposed to into the Balabayas' Kalim and then go ahead and eat. So now the fact is the Torah is allowing him to eat. And again, according to the Tanakhama, he would be allowed to eat the whole thing. So therefore, so you could say in that case, then Rav Asi would be saying that he's allowed to. But in the second case, where he was hired for the entire day, but all he's done so far is picked one cluster. You would think maybe we wouldn't have Rav Asi's second din. We would say, first start putting into Balabayas' kelim, and then you'll eat. You have the whole day here anyhow, so don't be so greedy and take first thing. The Iyashmin and Baha, on the other hand, if we only had Rav Asi's second din, you would say, on the contrary, the Efshal Kiyumi Lavasayf, because after all, you are later on able to put some of it into the Balabas's Kalim. But where it's not possible to do that, because you were only hired to pick one cluster and you're going to eat it, you would think maybe you're not allowed to eat it. So Rav Asi says both din. So now again, according to Rashi, the Tanakama agrees with both, according to this answer in the Gemara, the Tanakama agrees with both of these dinim, and the Chachamim disagree with them. So the Tanakama would say that you are allowed to eat, even if it's the only cluster that you were hired for, or even if it's the first cluster that you pick. And the Chachamim would say that not. The Rosh actually learns the other way around. The Rosh learns that, on the contrary, based on continuation of the Gemara and various other considerations, the Rosh learns the other way around, and many most poskim paskin that way as well. That, on the contrary, the Tanakama holds only, like, as we're going to say soon, like an opinion of Isi ben Yehuda, and the halacha is not like him. The Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah let's continue. I'm mixing it up. I'm applying it to something else. So let's talk at the end who the halacha is like. Okay. So anyway, so far we have two answers. We have one, whether melamdin or not, according to the Tanakhama, not. And according to the Chachamim, yes. Then we have this question, do we accept Rav Asi's dinim about where he's only harvesting one cluster, or where he only harvested one cluster so far? Then the Gemara continues. Iboisema, another possibility, ikibenayo derav. A third possibility is that the machloikas between the Tanakhama and the Chachamim would be regarding what Rav says. Da'amar Rav, matzosi megilas storim bei Rav Chiya. Rav says, I found a hidden scroll in the house of Rav Chiya. Now, in those times, it actually points out, this is before Torah Shabbat Peh was allowed to be written. So therefore, but what you would have is, when a person heard a new novel concept in Torah, and he was afraid he might forget it, then he's allowed to write down private notes for himself. But it would be kept hidden so other people don't go and learn from it. So that's why it was called Megillah Sturim. Anyway, so Rav says, I found such a Megillah Storim in Rav Chiya's house, or in his yeshiva, the Kosovo, and it said in it, Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Now, all this time, the last five blocks, since we've been talking about this concept of the worker eating on the job, we've always said that when the Pasuk says, Ki sove b'cherem re'echa, you come into your fellow Yid's vineyard, or Ki sove b'komas re'echa, you come into your fellow Yid's standing grain, then you're allowed to eat. And we've explained all this time that it means a worker, not just that you wander into somebody else's field or vineyard randomly, but that rather that you belong over there because you work over there. But this Megillah Storim said, Isi ben Yehudaim, ki sovi b'cherem re'echa, b'vias kol adem akosim medaber. The Pasuk is talking about anybody walking into somebody else's field or vineyard, that he would be allowed to eat over there. But Omer Rav, and Rav says on that, l'shovak isi chai l'chol beria, Isi, by saying that, is not letting anybody live, because a person is going to end up having his whole field or his whole vineyard eaten by people who come into his who come in
there. Yeah, what about paya? I mean, why would you even do paya? You can just eat anything.
Maybe that also. Maybe, okay. In any case, so Omer Rav Asi. So now Rav Asi. So we'll get to back in a minute who holds what over here in the Mishnah. But first, the Omer Rav Asi. So Omer Rav Asi, so Rav Asi comments, Amrita l'shmaita kamei Rav Kahana, I told over the statement to Rav Kahana, I asked him, Duma ba'osin b'sudosim da'ovdu v'ochlu. Maybe even Isi is not allowing it just for any random person who walks in there, maybe only when the person is being paid just with food. In other words, you can have where a person is where the deal is, I'm not going to pay you, but I will give you food. You need lunch today, so then I'll buy you lunch for the fact that you're working for me. So maybe only then So maybe only then is Issy Ben Yehuda allowing him to eat then. And in that case, in other words, so instead he'll eat on the job, and that will be his pay. And in that case, it's not l'shav chay l'chol beria. But Amar Li, and Rav Kahana answers me, afilo hochi nichalei le'inish l'orger aguri. Nevertheless, still, a person would still really rather hire workers to harvest his vineyard, the niktefe la paradise to legra guri, to hire workers, the niktefe la paradise and harvest his vineyard, and he'll pay them and they'll eat in the normal way. Rather than everybody coming and doing a little bit of work and eating.
Yeah.
Because then what's gonna happen? Each person is going to come and eat some, and then he's not gonna want to work anymore because he's full and I don't need to anymore. I'm only working with Sudasa, and that's why Rav is saying Leshavik Marchai Lachoberia. So now the point is, so Rashi says, therefore, the Tanakhama would be disagreeing with what Issi ben Yehuda says. Therefore the Tanakhama says, Oichel Poil, Kishus Afilo B'Dinner. A worker can eat even if the food is worth a dinner. So in other words, it doesn't apply just to anybody who walks into the vineyard, and it doesn't even apply to somebody who is only working for the amount of food that he's going to eat. So the Tanakhama would disagree with that concept. The Chachamim, at the end of the Mishnah, the third opinion, would agree with Issi. So the Chum would say that he's allowed to eat Yosra Schorei, because after all, even somebody who's not a Socher would also be able to eat. So Tosfos learns a little bit differently. Tosfos learns the Tanakhama by mentioning the word poil means that he disagrees with what Rav is saying. Rav is saying Lashavik Isi Chay L'Choberia. He would be holding the Tanakhama would hold that he would say that Isi is only talking about, like Rav Ashi said, Oisin B'Sudasan, but nevertheless they're not doing it with the das of the Baal Bayis, and therefore the Tanakhama would say that they can't eat, and the Chachamim would say that they could. Now here's where the Rosh comes and says that. First of all, who is the halacha going to be like? The Rosh starts by saying the halacha is going to be like the Chacham. For one thing, they have a very logical point over here about this Malamdin. Also, they're evidently the Rabbim. The Tanakhama is not necessarily the Rabbim. We often find that the Tanakhama is only one Tana. Then he goes on to say that no, as far as this business of what Issi ben Yehuda says, the opposite of Rashi says the Rosh, the Tanakhama would agree with Issi ben Yehuda. So he would be calling him a poil because, after all, like Rav Ashi is saying that. We're talking about he is working, but he's working only for his soda. The Chachamim would disagree with Issi ben Yehuda, and the Rosh says, look, the halacha is not like Issi ben Yehuda, therefore that fits nicely with what we're saying. The halacha is like the Chachamim, and the halacha is not like Issi ben Yehuda. The result of that would also be, therefore, that we would say that if we say it that way, then it comes out the halacha is also not like those various statements of Rav Asi about where he only harvested, where he only picked one cluster of grapes, or where he's only hired to pick one cluster of grapes, because those were only needed to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama, and according to the Rosh and many other poskim, the halacha is not like that. So in fact, the Rif and the Rambam don't bring those halachas of Rav Asi. Where are they brought? The Rambam brings them on Shulchan Aruch, following Rashi's and Tosfos' way of understanding the Gemara that the Chachamim would agree with them, or that the halacha might be like the Tanakhama. So you have various opinions, in short, what the final halacha is as far as these various things. So now the Gemara says Yiboylohu. So now we have a question. On top of that, also actually, as far as that, Marsha points out that we have also there may be a difference in the girsa in the Gemara over here. When Rav Ashi says Amrita l'shmaita Hamed Rav Kahana, Shmaita would be one statement, but there's a different girsa. According to the Rosh, you would have to say Shmaita Hamed Rav Kahana, which means that I was saying over many statements to Rav Kahana. I was saying over this whole discussion. So Marsha gives a different girsa over here. In the girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara is that Rav Ashi is saying, I said over the following Shmaita, the following point. So Rav Kahana, maybe we're talking about achli b'sudasa, that we're talking about when they're working for their suda. So now the Maharsha says maybe the correct girsa would be like you find in older manuscripts of the Gemara, which is Omar Rav Ashi, Amrit l'shmaita kamed Rav Kahana, Omar li, and he answers me back. That maybe that not necessarily when Rav is saying l'shavik isi chay l'chalberia, maybe there is a way of salvaging what isi is saying. So in other words, that
what's
would be
the practical.
The practical conclusion
the practical
would be
for
the practical
now.
Point of all of this. The practical point of all of this would be: is first of all, is the halacha like isi ben Yehuda when a person is only working with sudasa, would he be able to? Eat, would he be able to eat over there, or would we say that no, only if he's hired, only if he's hired as a regular day laborer or by the job or whatever, not where he's being hired just to just for the amount of food that he's going to eat. And then especially since Rav Kahana pointed out or Rav Ashi pointed out that really not so, a person would not really want the people to go eating in his field at that point. And we still have Rav's point that like shavik chay l'choberia, but the bottom line is, would the halacha be, first of all, would the halacha be like that statement of Isi ben Yehuda in any form? And also, would the halacha be like Rav Asi's statements about where the person was hired to pick only one cluster, or where he actually only picked one cluster, that he'd be allowed to eat it? It comes out, according to the Rosh's Girsa in the Gemara over here, and his explanation of the Gemara, it would come out, and most poskim follow the same mahalach. And that's how the Mechaber brings it. It would mean that that no, he wouldn't be allowed to eat if he's only hired to pick one cluster, or he only actually picked one cluster. First, he has to start putting into the kalim of the balabas, and then he's allowed to eat. Whereas the Rama brings Rav Asi's dinim, which would imply that according to him, the halacha is in fact like him, because we would say that we establish that one of the opinions in the Mishnah holds like that. And that Amar would hold accordingly.
Why don't we just leave the Balabas decide how much he can eat and how much he cannot eat?
Because the Balabas is not the one who gets to decide. That's going to be the next piece of the Gemara now. Hashem says
why?
In the Torah that he doesn't allow the woman
to
eat.
But who says that Hashem doesn't allow the Balabas?
Because you don't find that. The Torah is saying, Kisavu b'cherem recha, Kisavu b'komas recha. When you get down to it, the psukim actually don't even say anything about the boss at all. It says strictly on the worker. You, the worker, are allowed to eat. You, the worker, are allowed to pick ears of grain, except that you have certain limitations that you can't take it home and that you can't use a sickle to harvest it. There's actually nothing over there about the balabas having any say in the matter at all. But that actually kind of brings us to the next piece over here in the Gemara, which we're going to discuss, and then we're also going to discuss the different opinions in our Mishnah about how much the worker is allowed to eat. So now, what you
it
can have,
like,
by the
it
way,
seems
what, one second, what you can have, and we're going to discuss in the Gemara, you can have something called katzatz. You can have where the worker arranges in advance with the balabas how much he's going to eat and various details like that. They can do that. The balabas can say, listen, I need somebody to pick my vineyard, but I know that you're a hungry guy and you're going to end up eating a lot of my grapes. So I want to, in advance, make a deal with you that you're being moichel on some of what you're allowed to eat. And in return for that, I'll pay you extra or whatever. Sure, they can make a deal like that. But that's going to be there. That's going to be the subject of this piece of Gemara. So let's learn it, and maybe then it'll be more clear.
Why don't we just apply the dinim of anah that we just
what does
tell the worker?
Anah has to do with buying and selling. This has nothing to do with buying and selling. This is the Torah says that a worker has to be able to eat on the job.
It has a lot to do, because if you take more than you give.
Okay, no. So, well, that's Rebbe Lozor Chisma's point. But what we're saying, according to the Tanakhama, according to the Chum, it's not so. Let's learn the piece of Gemara. We have to get moving, and we'll see if that becomes more clear. Iboilo. When the worker eats, is it basically something that belongs to him? In other words, the Torah is giving him that it's a bonus. He's getting paid X amount, and in addition, he gets a bonus. Or is it that he's eating from what Hashem grants him as a gift? What would be the practical difference? What if the worker says, instead of me eating, give it to my wife or children and let them eat it instead of me? If you say that it's his own that he's eating, that it's a bonus that he's being given, then you can give it to him. He, the same way as he could give them his pay packet, the same way he could give them the bonus that he's getting. Rashi says, in other words, the same way, yeah, the same way, so he can give his pay to whoever he wants. And Tosfos says what it is it comes out then once he was hired, it says if there was an automatic t'nai that he's going to get this, and therefore he could give it to whoever he wants. The imishal eli amit mishal shemayim hu oichel. But if you say that what he's getting is mishal shemayim, then no, the day zochil rachmana. Hashem gives it to him as a source that he can have the issue of one of loizachil rachmana. But the Torah never said anything about it going to them. Rashi explains that zochil rachmana in the sense of its tzedakah. So as long as it hasn't reached his hand, then he wasn't zochil in it yet. So therefore, he wouldn't have the ability to redirect it to his wife or children. It seems to Rashi's wording seems to imply, though, that once he actually got it in his hands, then he would be allowed to give it to them. The same way as when you give a poor person tzedakah, you can give it to somebody else. Tosfos actually says differently. Tosfos says that no, the Torah is only mezakah to him with the amount that he's able to chew and eat. He has no ability to give at all. So it would come out, in other words, that Tosfos would disagree with Rashi and say, if we say Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichel, would mean that you're not even that even after he got it into his hands, we would still say he can't give it to them. So what is it? So the Gemara says Toshma, let's prove from our Mishnah. We said Oichel Poyo Kishrus Vafilu B'Dinner. The worker can eat the cucumber even if it's worth a dinner. Kaseves Vafilu B'Dinner, or he can eat the dates even if they're worth a dinner, even if it's more than his pay. Now the Amit Mishaloi Hu Oichel. If you're going to tell me that what he's eating is considered a bonus to him, how can the bonus be so much more than the pay? Oichel B'Danka. He was hired for only a danka, which is 1/6 of a zuz. Ochel B'Zuzah, and now his bonus, the amount that he's going to be allowed to eat, is a zuz. It's going to be 6 times as much as his pay. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says Ve'Elamai Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichel. So what are you going to answer? You're going to say it works better if we say Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichel? No. Soif Oichel B'Danka Ochel B'Zuzah. Ochel B'Zuzah. You're still going to have the same question. How is it? How can the Torah be saying that he should be given Min Hashemayim 6 times as much as his pay? Obviously, you have to answer according to that second possibility. The Torah is mezakah to it, and that's just how it is. It's gzeiras hakosuv. The same way you can say the Torah is mezakah to him, but nevertheless, it's considered a bonus. That's his money to do with whatever he wants. So no proof from that one way or the other. Well, the Gemara continues. Toshma, Rabbi Loza Chisma, Rabbi Loza Chisma is saying that the person is not allowed to eat more than what he's being paid. Now, my lab, can't we say then that is exactly their machlokas? Their machlokas is exactly on that point. Rabbi Lozer Chisma holds that the amount that the worker is eating is considered his, it's considered a bonus, and therefore, logically, the bonus can't be more than the main amount, than the main pay. Or Marsav, Mishal Shemayim Hu'oichel, whereas that Chachamim would hold that he's eating Mishal Shemayim. Before the Gemara had assumed that either way the bonus, whether you say it's Mishaloi or Mishal Shemayim, can't possibly be more than the Iker. But maybe we're saying that maybe not. Maybe in fact, if we say Mishal Shemayim, then it could be, and only if we say if it's Mishaloi, then we can. Well, the Gemara says Loi. No, that's not we don't have to explain the machlokas that way. They both might agree that Mishaloi Hu Oichel, it's considered a bonus that belongs to him. The machlokas over here would be about how we understand when the pasuk says that you can eat the work that the worker can eat, kenafshecha, as he wishes. Now, we learned before that kenafshecha means, kenefesh poyo, kenefesh balabayas, kach nafshe shel poyo. We said the same way as the balabayas is allowed to eat from it without taking maisu yet, because it's still considered a snack. We said the same way the worker was allowed to eat from it without taking maisu from it yet. We learned that back where at the beginning when we learned these dinim, that we learned about the kenafshecha. It also means over there that he can't eat achilagasa. Anyway, So Mar Sover, so now Rabbi Lozer Chisma holds kenafshecha means bedavar shemoisa nafshe olav. The word kenafshecha means you're only allowed to eat as much as what you're setting us as much as what you're being moisa nefesh for. Now, not when we say moisa nefesh, we don't literally mean a worker is not normally moisa nefesh in that sense, but in other words, the worker is putting his time and effort into it. Well, how much is he putting in time and effort for? The amount he's being paid. Therefore, Rabbi Lozer says that the Torah, by using that word kenafshecha, is capping the amount that he can eat at the amount that he's actually going to be paid. More than that, it's not moser nafsha olav, therefore he wouldn't be able to eat. Well, Mar Sava, whereas the Chacham would hold that no, kenafshecha means, as we learned previously, ma nafshecha im chasamta potter. At first, we had said that kenafshecha meant that as far as the matter of meiser, but then we said no, because midaraisi, you wouldn't have to take meiser from it either way, even if you sold it. So we ended up saying, and this is how the Chacham hold over here, ma nafshecha im chasamta potter, just like you yourself, if you choose to muzzle yourself and to hold yourself back and not eat, then you're potter because you're the balabas. You can choose whether to eat from your produce or not. The same way the worker, if you did muzzle him, or whether physically or whether verbally or whatever, you're potter, you're not supposed to do it. We said you're oivan and eser, but nevertheless, it still would work. Certainly, if you make a tanai in advance, you can make whatever tanoim you want. But even if you physically muzzled him, then still the most you're over is on as an esse, but not any more than that. You're not over on the loisase of loisachsim shor b'dishoy, because that applies specifically to a shor. So anyway, so that would be a way of understanding Rabbi Elazar Chisma's and the Chachamim's machlokas, which therefore has nothing to do with the question of Mishaloi hu oichel or Mishal Shemayim hu oichel. It would be how we understand that word kenafshecha in the pasuk and what we darshan. Tosfos discusses over here another possible girsa, which they prefer. Which is that dekola amu mishal shemayim oichel, that we would say that both Rabbi Elazar Chisma and the Chachamim would hold in answer to our original question that mishal shemayim oichel, it's not a bonus that belongs to him, it's rather a gift, it's rather a tzedakah that Hashem is giving him. So the machlokas would be within that. In other words, if it weren't for the word kenafshecha, everybody would agree. Since Hashem is giving it to him as tzedakah, then he could eat as much as he wants. But Rabbi Elazar Chisma holds the word kenafshecha prevents us from saying that. Whereas the chachamim are saying that we learn kenafshecha different. So still no proof one way or the other. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof. A braisa describes nozir. So you have a nozir who's working in a vineyard. Now he can't eat the grapes. Sha'ama tnu le'ishto yovonav. He says, give some of it to his wife or children. Le'ishto yovonav is in parenthesis. It's really supposed to be le'ishto yovonai, to my wife and my children. Ein shomin lo, we don't have to listen to him, and the balabas does not have to give them anything. Now, the amit mishaloi hu oichel, if you're telling me that he's eating from what belongs to him, amai ein shomin loy, why not? Why shouldn't he be able to, the same way as he could give his pay, the money that he was paid to his wife or children, the same way he could hand over the bonus, the grapes or whatever that he's working with, should be able to hand it over to them. Wouldn't that show that mishal shamayim hu oichel? Tosfos draws a distinction, by the way. Suppose, for example, he was sick and he couldn't eat, then fine, we wouldn't say that not necessarily would he be able to give it to anybody else. But here, he wants to eat it. He's just blocked by the Torah, being a nozer. Therefore, we would consider that he's a worker. So Tosfos also adds that if we say Mishal Shamayim Hu'oichel is the reason we're mentioning a nozer, because in fact the nozer particularly would say that since he couldn't eat. But in fact, if we say Mishal Shamayim Hu'oichel, the same din would apply whether he's a nozer or not. Anyway, don't you see that doesn't seem to show that Mishal Shamayim Hu'oichel? And therefore he can't give it to them because he has no right to, because the Torah only gives rights to him to eat, not to give it to anybody else. Again, according to Rashi versus Tosfos before, we would say, according to Rashi, the implication would be if he actually received it in his hands, then he would be able to give it to them. But according to Tosfos, not even that. Anyway, so the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Plus, some no. There's the reason why we don't listen to him and we don't give it to the wife and children. Mishum, because he himself was being over on something. Mishum, because of the following expression. Leich leich amrin nizira. We tell a nazir, go, stay away. Schur schur l'kam aloi sikrav. Don't even come anywhere near around the vineyard. There's different ways of understanding whether schur schur is part of the first half of the statement or the second half, whether it means, you know, don't even come anywhere near around the vineyard, or whether it just means go the long way around and don't come near the vineyard. In other words, basically the nafkamina between them would be how close is he allowed to come. Anyway, the point is, a nazir, because he's not allowed to eat grapes or drink wine, therefore he has no business even being anywhere near a vineyard. So now he's being over on that. He's going in the vineyard and working over there. Therefore, we can say we penalize him, and we say that we shouldn't allow him to take it and give to somebody else, to give it to his wife or children. That doesn't show that normally we wouldn't say mishaloi hu oichol, and maybe he would be allowed to give it to them. Only in this case, we were penalizing him. So the Gemara says Toshma. Another braisa speaks not of a nozir, but of a worker in general, where he says, give it to my wife or children. Ein shomin loy, we don't listen to him. And by the way, whenever we say in the Gemara, ein shomin loy, doesn't mean that we ignore him completely. If the balabas wants to do that, because under hey, he can do what he wants, but it means he's not required to listen to him. Anyway, again, if you say that he's eating from what belongs to him, am I ein shomin loy, why or not? Why shouldn't he be allowed to transfer to them? And the answer is my poyol nozir. The answer is the worker we're talking about over here is not any old worker. It means a nozir, like the previous braisa. Because again, like we said, we penalize him because he was in a vineyard in the first place. The Gemara says, Vartanya nozir, Vartanya poyol. What do you mean? We have two braisas. One says nozir, one says poyol. The implication seems to be one braisa is talking specifically about a nozir and saying that we penalize him, and the other is talking more generally about a worker and saying that, and saying it's not a matter of a penalty, but mishal shemayim hu oichol, and therefore he has no right to give it to anybody else. The Gemara says, so what? Midi gabi hadodi tanyan. Were these braises taught one next to the other? So in other words, if the braises were a continuation, one of the other, then you would say, yes, once one is talking about a nozir and the second one changes to poil, then obviously it means a worker in general. But they weren't. These braises may well come from different bate medrash altogether. So one of them used the word nozir specifically, and the other one used poil more generically and were meant to understand that it means specifically a nozir. So still no proof from that one way or the other. Maybe Mishaloi hu oichol, but both of them are in fact talking about a nozir, one calling him a nozir explicitly, the other one calling him poyol, and we're meant to understand that it's a nozir. And in either case, in that case, both of them are saying the same thing, because he's a nozir, and because he went into a vineyard and is working over there, which he shouldn't have done, then the chum penalize him and don't allow him, like this, he himself can't eat the grapes, because he's a nozir, we penalize him and we don't allow him to give it to his wife and children as well. But maybe, in fact, under normal circumstances, we would say, Mishaloi hu oichol, and the same way, he's allowed to give them his money, the same way he'd be allowed to give them his food. So still no proof one way or the other. All right, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. How do we know that a worker says, give it to my wife or children? You don't listen. We don't listen to him. Because the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to put it in your kelim. Now, that means, in other words, the same way as you're not allowed to put some in your kelim to take home, the same way you're not allowed to give it to the wife or children. Nozir. You're going to say that this braisa is also talking about a nozir. You're going to say this braisa is talking about a nozir. Then what do you mean? Why would the braisa be saying the reason is because of what it says in the pasuk? Because of the limitation it says in the pasuk. Mishum leich leich hamir nazirahu. It's only because we say, because we penalize the nozir for working in a vineyard. So doesn't that prove, therefore, that it's not a matter of penalty? It's that in general, the worker is not allowed to give to his wife or children. And that would show Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichol, that what he's getting is a gift from Hashem. And he has no right. And he has no right to give that gift to anybody else. The Gemara says, still not necessarily. The Gemara says, Ein Hokinami. Indeed, the Braisa might be talking about a Nozer, but I did the Katani Lavaloshin Poil, but because the Braisa is using the word Poil, Konosiv Lakrod the Poil, therefore it uses the Posit that applies to a worker in explanation of it, but really it's only an Asmachta. In reality, we'd be talking about a Nozer, and we'd be saying the reason why he can't give it to his wife or children is because of the penalty, because Leich Leich Amrin and Nazir. So still no proof that Mishal Shemayim Hoichel. Next, Toshma, a person hires a worker to dry figs. He's gonna the figs have been picked. He's now been hired to spread them out in the field so that they'll dry and then they can make them into katsios, which are dried figs, which we have examples throughout Shas where people would do that. Tosfos points out, by the way, it has to be we're talking about a place where people regularly do that. because otherwise it's nigmar malachdei, and we learned before that once nigmar malachdei, he wouldn't be able to meiser, he wouldn't be able to eat from it. So it must be, in other words, that it's a place where the regular minhag is to dry the figs. So therefore, he's still allowed to eat.
What's the kikara shel dvela?
Kikara shel dvela. Dvela are dates. So dvela are the dried dates, and then they'd make them into these round cakes, and then they'd break off pieces. So that's not figs. It's something else. Here, they would make them into tzias. What they often would do, sometimes they would also make those into figs. We do find, for example, litur tzias, shedorsal pichabis, yeah, sometimes they would also make them into round cakes. Igol shel dvela, strictly speaking, is dates. But yes, they would do something similar with figs sometimes. Anyway, so you hired a worker to dry your figs. So the Braisa says, Hareza oichol, so he can eat from them, or potter from maaser, and he's potter from maaser because, again, lo nigmar malachdan, and as we've learned the last few blocks, he's not obligated to give maaser because minatora he wouldn't have to anyway because he's buying it, and even midirabbanan that you have to give maaser from something that was bought, we don't consider the worker buying it. We consider it's something the Torah is giving. But what if he makes a condition in advance with the balabas? He says, I'm going to do this work on condition that I and my children will eat, and the children are not hired out. Or he says, I want my son to eat for my pay instead. Meaning, in other words, that you made up for me that I'm going to be paid X amount, and instead I want you to give my son that equal amount, and he'll eat that instead. So does it mean actually that he's going to eat with him, or does it mean that it's that he's going to eat instead of his pay? Tosfos discusses that point. Tosfos actually understands Rashi to mean that it means the son is going to be allowed, according to this condition, to eat together with the father. So in other words, the father will get some of his pay, and some of it will be deducted to pay for the sons. And Tosfos says, no, actually what it means is that he's saying that my son will get entirely what I would be paid. You were going to be paying me $10. So instead you're going to give him $10. He's going to be able to eat $10 worth of food. Anyway, who oichol a potter? He, whatever he's eating on the job, he would be potter from meiser, like the rules we said before. Of noi oichol v'chayev, his son can eat based on this tonight, but he would be chayev to give meiser first because it's bought.
It's already bought.
Within that, by the way, again, we're talking about lo nigmar malachdei. So why would it be chayiv and meiser so far? So Tosfos, a few blocks earlier, learns that we're talking about where the son is putting a few of them together, whereas we learned previously when you make a gurdon out of them, when you put two or more of them together, it's considered like now you've made a granary of them, you've now made a storage of them, and therefore they become chayiv and meiser d'rabbanan. So therefore he'd have to give meiser. Now, Getting back then to our question about Mishaloihu Oichel, Mishal Shamayim Oichel, the Amit Mishaloihu Oichel, if you're going to tell me that what he's eating belongs to him himself, so therefore he's equally well able to give it to his son, why should the son be Chayev and Meiser? He's eating what was given to him by his father, and the Torah pater to him himself based on the word Kenafshecha. So therefore, why should his son is taking over and eating instead of him, or partially instead of him, or whatever, why should he be Chayev and Meiser? So the Gemara says that's not a proof. The fact is, since they made a deal in advance, so it looks like it was bought. So his own eating is not based on a tenai. So he was hired to work, but it doesn't look like mekach. But when they were making a deal in advance, my son will be able to eat X amount, then that looks like mekach. And again, mekach is one of those things that makes food chayiv and meiser. Okay, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The next Mishnah says, if a person hires workers to work on his neter avai, so you have the first three years of a tree, the fruit is orla, it's also bahana, the fourth year with neter avai, and it has the same basic dinim as maaser sheni, you have to take it to your shalayim and eat it there batara, or you exchange it for money and you bring the money to your shalayim and use it to buy food and eat that there batara. So now a person is hiring a worker to work on netted avai trees. So they can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Harei lo yochlu. So they can't eat the fruit because you can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. The im lo hodiyam. If you didn't inform them, if you didn't inform them in advance that this is netzer rabai poida, then the balabas first has to redeem the fruits. He has to exchange them for money or machilon, and then they'll be able to eat. Because otherwise, in other words, the point is there's like mekach tos over here. If they didn't know. So actually, what it is like this. The Gemara soon is going to talk about the matter of mekach tos. The Maharshal understands that even now at this point, the Gemara understands that the reason would be because of mekach tos. But the Gemara is still saying maybe this business of mishaloy or mishal shamayim factors in over there. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain the reason is because it looks like mekach tos, and it's exclusively that, and nothing to do mekach tos. In other words, that would be a misleading thing. He hired them to work on trees, and they thought they'd be able to eat from them like any normal trees. And now, all of a sudden, they find that
these are not fruit trees.
No, they are fruit trees. There were fruit trees in their fourth year where you're not allowed to eat the fruit outside of your shalayim unless you poide it. So now it's like this. Again, the Maharshal understands that what the Gemara is saying is over here like this. Obviously, the reason why, if he didn't inform them, he has to be able to make it, he has to be able to be poured to the fruit and make it available to them. Obviously, the reason is based on mekach tos. Still, at this point, the Gemara assumed that if mishal shamayim hu oichel, then that matter of mekach tos is not really relevant. So then the Gemara is going to explain that no, it's not necessarily so. Even if we say mishal shamayim hu'oichel, then that reason is relevant. Maharshal discusses at some length and disagrees with Maharshal and says that no, at this point, in fact, the Gemara does not know yet that it's a matter of mekach tos. It thinks that it's strictly a matter of mishal shamayim or mishal mishal shamayim or mishaloi. So now the amit mishal shamayim hu oichel. If you're going to tell me that he's eating mishal shamayim and not a bonus, amai podo machilon. Why should the balabais have to redeem the fruit and give it to them? Isur lo zochel lo rachmana. On the face of it, we can't say that the Torah was being mezaka them something which is osur. So if you say mishaloy hu oichol, then he would say, in other words, fine, he's eating on the job, he's entitled to a bonus, and now it turns out he can't eat that bonus because netzer rabai. So therefore you have a responsibility to make sure that he can eat it. But if you say mishal shamayim, it wouldn't be included in the first place. Tosfos brings a different explanation from Rabbi Hanan all the other way around, that if it's mishal shamayim, you shouldn't even need to be poydek. Maybe you should be able to eat it without pidyon. So the Gemara says no. Hachi mishum demechzi kemekach tos. The reason why he would have to be poydek is because it looks like mekach tos. They assume they're going to be able to eat from it, and it turns out that they can't. So therefore, that doesn't show whether mishaloy or mishal shamayim hu oichol. You can say that either way, whether you say mishaloy hu oichol, whether you say mishal shamayim, either way, if you didn't inform them in advance that it's netzer rabai and they can't eat it, then he has to make sure that they're going to be able to eat it.
So what does he have to do?
So he has to be poyder. He has to exchange. Exactly, he has to exchange.
Oh, and give them other fruit?
No. What he does is he takes the fruit that they're picking, and he says, I am machalal that fruit on this coin. The fruit is worth X amount. I'm going to be machalal that on X amount of coins, and then I will later on take those coins to Yerushalayim.
I remember
that. Okay, the Gemara says, Ema Sefer. Okay, well, let's continue with the Mishnah over there. That same Mishnah, that the next Mishnah, it's at Gimel Amar Aleph, says, Nisparsui Gulav. If a person, for example, had, you were just talking about the Igula Dvela a few minutes ago, those cakes of pressed dates or figs. If a person had Igula Dvela that broke apart, and it's already Nigmar Malachta Lamaiser, and now they broke apart, so now he's hiring workers to put them back together. Nispatchu Chaviyosav, or he had barrels of wine that were opened up, and he hires workers to close them. Harei lo yochlu, then they can't eat from them because it's already Gmar Malacha. It's already after Gmar Malacha, and as we've learned before, after Gmar Malacha, they can't they don't have the right to eat Minat Torah anymore. The imloy hadion, but again, if he didn't inform them that it was like this in advance, ma'aser ma'achilam, then he'd have to take ma'aser, and then he'd have to give it to them, because otherwise, again, mekach tos. V'yamet mishal shamayim hu oichol. Again, if you're going to say that they're eating mishal shamayim, amay ma'aser ma'achilam, why should he need to do that? Why should he need to give them food and take ma'aser from it first? Mi'isur le'zochil hu rachmana. We could say like before, that the Torah is not mezakah them something which is osur. So at this point, now that it's already gmar malacha, then already they're chayev and baiser. So therefore, that would be okay. The Torah is saying, well, at that point, then it's not mishal shemayim or oichel anymore. It's off limits to you because it's tevil. If you're going to say, so you're going to think to answer, okay, you know, you could say the same thing because it looks like mekach tos because they thought that they would be hired to put together dates to make an eagle shod vela in the first place, in which case it's not nigma malach the lemeiser, or they're thinking that to begin with they're being hired to close up barrels. Well, that's what Gemara is going to say. That wait, with closing up barrels, even before they're closed up, they're already tevil. Is going to be the point that the Gemara is going to be bringing up. Again, Marshal, who learns the Gemara as saying that all along the Gemara knew it's a matter of Mekach Tos, he takes out these words of Chitem. He takes out these words that the Gemara is trying to Misura Loizachi Lurachmana. He would say that yes, the Gemara is answering Hochanam Mishum Mekach Tos, and then the Gemara goes on to ask about that. According to Marshal, that the Gemara has not yet realized that when it first asked the question that it's a matter of Mekach Tos, so then you're going to try to answer that it's Mekach Tos, but that doesn't seem to fit. Anyway, Bishleman spouse we gulav, when there was an eagle shaldvela and it broke apart, and you don't know that, you just see the individual figs over there, and it looks like they were never pressed together. Merci, kemekach tos, then sure, it looks like a mekach tos. They think, we see this pile of figs or dates over here, we didn't realize that they were at one point part of an eagle shaldvela, and they're already chayv and meiser, so therefore you, balabas, are going to have to take meiser from them in order for them to be able to eat it. Ellen Patru Chabayosa, but if you're talking about the barrels being open, my Mekach Tos Ika. What's the difference? How is there a Mekach Tos? Once the wine is already in the barrel, maybe Yodid, the Ikbaluhula Meiser, they already know that it's Tevil as far as Meiser. Whether they were closed to begin with and now they've gotten open, or whether they were never open, or whether they were never closed in the first place. So what Mekach Tos? The answer is Amar of Sheshes, Nishinis Patru Chabayosa Labur. We don't mean that the barrels are open and they're just sitting there, and they're just sitting open over there. It means that the barrels of wine spilled and fell into the pit in the ground where the wine is pressed to begin with. So they think, in other words, like this: they come to the wine press, they see the wine over there in the vat. And they're supposed to be taking it and putting it back into the barrels. As far as they know, it's not back. As far as they know, it's never been in the barrels before. Therefore, it was never chayv and meiser. Now they discover, hey, this wine was in the barrels before, and then the barrels spilled back into here. Therefore, it's already chayv and meiser. And therefore, since it's mekach tos, then the owner is going to have to take meiser in order to allow them to drink. So the Gemara says, "V'atanya yain mishyer labur." Still, what do you mean, though? That with wine, the gemar malacha of wine is once it goes down into that pit. So we've talked about before. You have a wine press back then was made. You had an upper vat where you would put the grapes and stomp on them. Then you would have it would flow from there. You'd have a channel through which it flows into the pit over there, and there it would sit there for a while and ferment. So once it reaches that lower pit, it's chayv and meiser. So again, what are you telling me? They're saying we didn't know when we were hired to get this to ladle out this wine from the pit into barrels. We didn't know it was chayv and meiser because it was already in barrels. What do you mean? And if it hadn't been in barrels before, it'd also be chayv and meiser. So either way, what mekach tos? The answer is kirava kiva. The answer is that mishnah that mentions about the barrels of wine might be like Rabbi Akiva. Drama mishiyakbe. Rabbi Akiva says that no, wine is not yet chayev in meiser just by virtue of being in the pit. Only kshiyakpeh, only when he skims off you have like this, as the wine is fermenting, then you have the kernels, the seeds, the various other dregs over there tend to float to the top, and then you skim them off. So according to Rabbi Akiva, only at that point is it chayiv and meiser? So there's a couple of other explanations among Rishonim what exactly Mishiyakba means, but in any case, the point is that according to Rabbi Akiva, just the wine being in the pit after it was pressed is not automatically chayiv and meiser. So therefore, you could have. So they're being told that they're being hired then to get the wine out of there and put it into the barrels. They think it's not chayiv and meiser yet, and then they discover it's already chayiv and meiser. Still, the Gemara asks, So now the Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, "De amru lei." So therefore, the workers can say, "Loi haba yadinan." We didn't know that already. Everything's been skimmed off and nigma malakta. So the Gemara asks, "V'neimal hu ibayla hu asukiyad dataychu duma makaka." Why can't the balabas tell them you should have realized that maybe it was already skimmed? And in other words, even if it hadn't been like this, in the end, what is the wine doing over there? Rav Sheshes was saying that because the barrels broke and the wine spilled into there. But even if it wasn't, why can't the balabais tell them, look, when you come and you see the wine in the pit, when you're agreeing to be hired to ladle out the wine from the pit into barrels, you don't know whether it's already been skimmed or not. And if you're agreeing to work for me, means that you're accepting on yourselves that not necessarily are you going to be able to drink. Why should I have to take meiser in order for you to be able to drink? So the answer is ba'aswadah hu gavra the nogid yu makapa. The answer is we're talking about in the kind of place where the one who ladles it out of the barrel, out of the pit, is also the one who skims it. So therefore, when we're being hired to put it in the barrels, automatically means we're going to be doing the skimming as well. Now they come there and they find there's no skimming to be done because already the wine previously was in barrels and it's chayiv and meiser. Therefore, we're saying it's mekach tos and the guy would have to take meiser from the wine in order to make it possible for them to drink. However, the Gemara says, you don't even need that answer, actually. Now that Reb Zvid taught a braisa that came from the Beis Medrash of Reb Hoshia, where the braisa says, Yayin Mishyerd Laberbi. Now, like this, we had before that the Chachamim hold that wine is chayiv and meiser as soon as it's in the pit. And Rabbi Akiva says only when it's skimmed. So now you have where that macholikus is, and it comes up in connection with the halachas of Truma and Maiser.
It's just floating around.
It's a braisa. It's also mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's also mentioned in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Anyway, Rab Hoshia has a different version of the macholikus, which Rab Zvid taught this braisa. Yayin mishyerd laberv yakapeh. That, according to the Tanakhama, wine becomes chayiv and meiser only once you skim off the stuff that floats to the surface. Rab Akiva omer mishyishla machobius. And Rabbi Akiva says, even after it's skimmed, it's still not chayiv and meiser yet. Only when you actually put it into barrels, and you say what you do is so you have it starts fermenting in the pit in the ground over there. Then you put it into and you skim it. Then you put it into barrels, and it continues fermenting in the barrels, and more stuff floats to the top. And then you skim it in the barrels. So now, and Rabbi Akiva says, only then is it chayiv and meiser. Now you don't need Rav Sheshes' answer before that nitpatru chaviyosav means that the barrels were opened up and spilled into the pit. You could say it means the barrels are sitting there open with the wine still in them. And the reason why we would say that's mekach tos because the workers can say, initially we didn't know that it had already been skimmed in the barrels, and therefore that's chayiv and meiser, and now therefore we were misled. We thought we're going to be able to drink some of the grape juice / wine on the job, and now we can't because it's tevel, so you're responsible for taking meiser from it so that we can drink.
So therefore that
has nothing to do with Mishaloy or Mishal Shamayim who oicho. We can say it's strictly a matter of nekach tos, and therefore for that reason he has to give it to them. But again, the Gemara asks for name of Borilhu Asukiya Dataitku Duma Mashli. Still, why can't he tell them you should have realized that it might have been already skimmed in the barrels? And the answer is similar to before, Ba'aswadahu Deshorikhu Mashli. We're talking about a place where the ones who close up the barrels are also the ones who are responsible for skimming it first. So therefore, again, when they're hired to close the barrels and they don't know that these barrels were previously full of wine, that they don't know that these barrels were already covered before, and meaning, in other words, they were already skimmed before, they think we're being hired to cover them the first time. And now they discover not so. So now they can say mekach tos, and you have to make it possible for us to drink. And if that requires you to take meiser first, then so be it. The Rashba points out really, it comes out though. We're saying that the Mishnah goes only according to Rabbi Akiva, but the fact is that the Loshen Niftachu Chava Yosef implies that just the covers were removed. In other words, in this second version, if we were to say Nispatko Chavi Yosef means like Rav Shesha said, that they spilled into the burr, then we don't have to say this Braisa goes only according, then we don't have to say that the Mishnah later on goes only according to the Akiva, it work according to the Chachamim as well. But the word Nispatko Chavi Yosef suggests more that only the covers of them were open. So we may not have it. So given that, then it's easier to explain the Mishnah as being like Rabbi Akiva. Well, the Gemara tries another proof. Again, we're still trying to figure out whether Mishaloi or Mishal Shemayim or Eichel. So the Gemara says Toshma. The next Mishnah also says Koitzetz Odomai De'atzmai. The worker can make a deal in advance with the balabas that he's going to that he's not going to eat on the job, that he's not going to eat from the produce that he's working with, and in return he's going to get paid more. Al yidei atzma, you can make such a deal for himself. Al yidei bnoi ubitag govim, if his older sons or daughters are being hired to work as well, he can make such a condition on their behalf. By the abdev shachosag govim, or on behalf of an eved knani or shivcha knanis who are gdolim, who are adults. Al yidei ishtoi, or his wife, and Pneshi Yesh Behen Das, all of them have Das, and therefore they're going to know that he made this Tanai, and therefore they can agree with it. Avol in a kotet loyade b'no b'taktanim, but he can't make such a deal on behalf of his small children, because they don't have Das to agree. V'loyade abdev shchosak nanim, or on behalf of his Eved or Shifcha who are little, the loyai de behemto, or his animal, that you should be able to prevent it from eating, because none of them have das, and they can't be moichel, and they can't be moichel on what they're on what they're entitled to. Now, kasalka daitach b'malu lahen mizonis. At this point, the Gemara assumes that the Mishnah is talking about where the main worker, the father or the owner of the Eved or whatever, malu lahen mizonis is the one who's supporting them. Where in that case, then, since he's supporting them, then whatever they earn, all of their earnings go to him. Well, in that case, so if you say that the worker was eating Mishal Shemayim, then that explains that explains why he's not able to make a deal to cause that the Ketanim that the children should forego. They themselves are working over here, and therefore the point is they're not zoicha in it until they actually work. So therefore, only when they actually eat it, until then they have no schos in it. So therefore, you can say he's not able to override that, because until they get it, it's not theirs anyway for him to forego. But if you say it's considered his, it's considered a bonus, why shouldn't he be able to make a deal about them and be able to say that they? And be able to say that they're not going to work, that they're going to get paid extra for not eating. So doesn't that show Mishal Shemayim Ho'echol? So the answer is, the Gemara says no, because Hocha Ma'askin and B'she'en Ma'alahan Mazonis, because you're assuming all this time that the father or the master or whatever is supporting them, not necessarily. So therefore, he's not entitled to their pay in the first place. Well, the Gemara says, Yehochi Gdolim Nami. Well, then the same thing would apply to adults. Then why should he be able to be Mo'echol on their behalf? If you say, in other words, Tosfos teaches out, if you say that Malo Lahem Mazonos and that Mishal Shemayim Ho'oichol, then we understand the difference is the older children or older Avodim or whatever, he's supporting them, and they're Gdolim and they have Das, therefore they can be Mo'echol. But if Ein Malo Lahem Mazonos, they're not going to agree wholeheartedly. Ein Zon Oisem, so it's only the only reason they would be agreeing to this is only out of fear, only out of Oinus. And the answer is, the Gemara says, no, Gdolim Yad Yivikom Machli. No, they are Moichel. In other words, it can be Belev Shalom. It's not just a matter of Onus. They are actually Moichel, Belev Shalom, and therefore such a thing could work. So the Gemara says, but didn't Rav Hoshea teach in a Braisa further on this Mishnah, where the Braisa says, Kotzitz Adamai Da'atzma, you can make such a deal for himself that he's not going to eat, and instead he's going to be paid more, Vali de Ishtoi, or for his wife, Avaloyai de Behemtoi, but not on his animal, Vali de Bnoi Bitak Dolim, and he can do it on behalf of his older sons and daughters, Avaloyai de Bnoi Bitak Tanim, but not for his younger children, Vakotzitz Adamai Da'atzma, and he can do it on behalf of his Eved or Shifcha Knanis, whether they're adults or whether they're children. Now, the Mishnah had said that he can't do it on behalf of Avodim and Shvachas that are children. He was saying that he could. My love, wouldn't it be logical to say, so that the Braisa doesn't contradict the Mishnah, both Mishnah and Rav Hoshea's Braisa are talking about where he is supporting them, or Vahokamifli, and Machlokas would be just that. The Marsov Mishaloihu Oichel, the Braisa, Rav Hoshea, would hold Mishaloihu Oichel, therefore it belongs completely to him, and he can be Moichel even on behalf of children. Or Marsov Mishal Shemaim Oichel, whereas the Mishnah would hold Mishal Shemaim Oichel, so he can't be Moichel on that, because again, they're not even Zoicha in it until they actually take it and are eating it. So the Gemara says, like, not necessarily. To call Amu Mishaloihu Oichel, they both might hold Mishaloihu Oichel, but like Kasha, can Mishain Ma'al Lehen Mazonis, or Braisa Ma'al Lehen Mazonis. The Mishnah may be talking about where he's supporting them, and the Mishnah will be talking about where he's not supporting them, and therefore he can't be Moichel on behalf of the Ketanim, and the Braisa will be talking about where he is supporting them, and therefore he is able to be Moichel, even if we say that, if we say Mishaloihu Oichel. So we'll continue with that discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem, and work out exactly how that's going to work with the Eved and the Shifcha, and try to come to a conclusion about Mishaloi and Mishal Shamayim.
Yeah.